Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 13-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining. Drop, keep a screaming for more. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Why, Spoolie, Woody, Dragon, why? Why, Spoolie, Woody, Dragon, why? Why don't you pass?
Well, here we are, sitting in the studios on a gloomy, it's partly cloudy day. Yeah,
not hot.
Not hot yet.
Yeah.
Sitting here, looking at a shirt I hadn't seen in a while that Stu's wearing, if you can see it at home.
And you can if you go to Facebook or YouTube.
You can. Provolone. Provolone. We had those made for the...
For something.
Yeah, for the grilled cheese competition, which will be coming up in October. Fun time of the year. Great weather time of the year. So anyway, welcome to the Sip and Chew Show. We are here to talk about food and wine in an unsnobby way is our forte. So, hey, Stu, how
you
doing?
Do you know when you use it in that term, it's not pronounced forte?
What is it?
It's pronounced fort.
Fort.
Yep. The first time I ever heard it, and you know you can trust this source, Charles Emerson Winchester on MASH. And he said, that is not my fort. And I went, that's ridiculous. But I actually bought Hooked on, not Hooked on Phonics. It was basically a thesaurus cassette that you listen to while driving around. Rush Limbaugh used to sell the system. And I bought a couple of tapes and to build my vocabulary when I was driving and delivering steaks and stuff up in Nashville. I'd listen to it, and it's, when you use it as saying that it is your personal strength, it is pronounced fort. When you use it in a musical term, it is forte.
Oh, okay. That so way you get it to rhyme with something.
There you go. Yeah.
Who's that guy that used to be on Fox? Bill?
Russell?
No.
Bill?
No.
Oh, no.
But he always dropped words every night on his show.
Mm-hmm.
Different vocabulary words. Words of the vocabulary. Anyway.
Well, we've talked about it before. Different words have different meanings. And although they can be used interchangeably artistically or poetically, doesn't mean they can be interchanged.
Yeah.
Like how hibachi and teppanyaki are not interchangeable. They're both grills. But hibachi is a small cast iron grill that you put on top of a table and use charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
A teppanyaki is the Japanese steakhouse, the big flat grill. So, yes, know, they are both grills, but
I know
words have specific meanings.
I know back in the 70s when we were all getting out of high school and a lot of us working for Dell Champs, making $100, $120 a week. We thought we were on top of the world, and we had $140 a month apartments. that was rent back then.
Mm-hmm.
$140 for a single bedroom, and everybody had a patio. You didn't want a patio. You wanted a balcony. You wanted to be upstairs, and we all had a hibachi grill.
Mm-hmm.
And we would find a little table or something on the side of the road that was free, cheap and free, and that's what we'd set our hibachi on, and grill steaks. And hey, they worked great back in those days. They were fun.
One of the best steaks we ever had was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and we had brought our hibachi grill and cooked it out on the porch of the hotel over the Roaring Fork Creek.
Hmm.
We used to stay at a place called Cars Motor Hotel, and it was behind all of the cool resort hotels on the main drag in Gatlinburg. Into the 40s and 50s, it was the main drag.
Yeah.
So now it's this old thing that nobody goes to, but we're like, great. We can't hear all the bustle on the main drag. All we can hear is Roaring Fork Creek. And we love that place. But we cooked a steak out there, probably a chuck shoulder steak. My dad would cook one steak to feed all three of us. you know, and it took up the entire hibachi. And we had some kind of marinade that my mother had gotten the recipe for, and she marinated that chuck steak all day long on the drive up there from Mobile. And then the next night, we had it. Oh, my gosh, that steak was good.
We stayed at a hotel next to a babbling brook, and very picturesque in Gatlinburg. Had a fireplace and a room. The part facing the babbling brook was all glass, and you could open all the glass doors. Well, it had rained before it snowed, and it got to be a roaring creek.
It wasn't a babbling creek.
It got where we couldn't sleep. It gets so loud, we couldn't sleep anymore. It was very nice and romantic at first, and then it turned into a nightmare. And you just couldn't enjoy it. You couldn't go to sleep. Yeah. And by the second night, we really could, because it had really been raining.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is crazy. This is supposed to be a fun, relaxing weekend, and we can't sleep because the roaring creek out our window.
There. One of my favorite things as a kid about Gatlinburg is because the city juts right up next to the national park border, it can only grow so far east. There's no outskirts on the east side of Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
It just dead ends at the park. And so when you came into Gatlinburg from that east entrance through the park, you're just driving through the forest. Hey, look, National Park. Everywhere you can see is mountains and ravines and creeks and boom, city. You just rounded a curve and you were in the middle of a town. But I haven't been to Gatlinburg since mid-90s, probably, 93 or 94. I imagine it is hellaciously huge and right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially after they had the big fire there and they had to rebuild.
I have family from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh.
That has moved,
you could say Cleveland, Tennessee.
That has moved to outside the Gatlinburg area. They love it.
Yeah. Well, I've got to think that Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, and Sevierville are just one city at this point. Because they were darn near that the last time I went up there.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been there. But not too far from there is Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Great food scene.
Great. Chattanooga is a great romantic getaway town.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. If you and your loved one want to get away from the kids or something for a weekend, Chattanooga, great city to do that in.
I want to tell you, too, the first weekend in October in Chattanooga is Wine Over Water.
Yeah, that's a big event.
On the footbridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weekend-long thing, but on that Saturday night, the first Saturday, they had the big wine festival, and it goes across the footbridge.
Yeah, which crosses the Tennessee River.
Yeah, and the colors in the mountains are, bursting with multiple colors.
Oh, yeah.
Yellow and red and orange, and you got a glass of wine in your hand, and you just walk across the bridge, and there's a nice breeze, and you smell good smell of the restaurants along the river. That's
and 45 minutes west, like you're headed to Nashville, is a mountain called Mont Eagle. And on the top of that mountain is the Mont Eagle Winery.
Oh.
And I did a writer's retreat there in college. I was working on my first book, and spring break came up, and I went and stayed in Mont Eagle, just found an inexpensive hotel room, and spent a couple of days there. Just took a hike to a natural bridge, went and visited the University of the South, Suwannee, their campus. Absolutely stunning campus. It looks like they took Oxford University in England and dropped it in the middle of the Appalachians.
Ah.
Just beautiful. And right across the street was the log cabin, lodge, and campground. So I had breakfast there every morning at a good breakfast buffet. And next to that was the Mont Eagle Winery. And I remember went in there and I tried two or three wines and did some shopping and stuff. These other two old boys came up there and they said, "How many wines y'all got?" And I said, 18. They go, "I can get a free sample of each." Yep. And they saddled up to the bar and got snockered for free. And then walked back over to the hotel room. But the cool thing on the breakfast buffet at that restaurant in the log cabin, I'm looking, there's this giant platter on the buffet table. And I look close at it, and it's an antique from the Admiral Sims Hotel in Mobile, Alabama. And it was the platter had been made like in you know, 1912 or something.
Wow.
Like that. Say some numbers.
251-343-0106. That's the call and text in line. We got some other stuff to talk about when you come back.
I'm sure we'll figure out something.
Yeah.
The folks down in Georgia, they can't pick up their mind. You can give it to them sweet or spicy, and they'll say that tastes all right. And you might think the South Carolinians are just a little bit off. Would you believe their barbecues? Yeah.
For more than a decade, they are the dynamic duo of dining. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I want to. I want to thank David Hubble for saying happy birthday to me.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
I believe we have a voicemail, don't we, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody sent in a voicemail, Michael. And Steve's going to pull
Hey there, Mike Allignamen here, old buddy. I understand it's your birthday. And you know the first thing you need to do on your birthday is make a roux. Get your flour and your butter and you mix it together. And that way it makes sense when people sing the song to you. You know, happy birthday to roux. Happy birthday to roux. Happy birthday, buddy. Go Jags.
That sounds... That sounds suspicious.
Well, and you don't think that's genuine? You don't think Alec loves you?
Oh, Alex does, and he did send me happy birthday wishes. So he wasn't too busy to stop making his roux to send me happy birthday. But I had a good birthday.
You know who else has a birthday this week?
Who's that?
Yesterday, in fact.
Yeah.
Going to have lunch with him this afternoon.
Oh, really?
My brother Steve.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. It's, I think he turned that off yesterday.
Huh?
I think he turned it off because I didn't see it either.
Some people do that.
And that's how he knows whether or not his little brother knows his actual date of birth or not.
Okay. Well, happy birthday, Steve.
Yeah.
Like, how about that?
We're going to Hickory Pit today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good place to go.
Yeah. So if you see me at the Hickory Pit later this afternoon, say happy birthday to my brother.
All right. So actually, I'm going to... I would have, if it probably wasn't his birthday, now that you tell me he's not going to be there, because I was headed somewhere after today.
So, no, he ain't going to be there.
So, anyway, hey, did you know today is National Smorgs Day? Smorgs?
Really?
Yeah, today is National Smorgs Day in August.
Yeah, who wants a campfire in August? Well, I guess keep mosquitoes away.
I guess, but let me ask you about...
But that, to me, that's a fall thing.
Let me ask you about smorgs.
S'mores?
S'mores.
Yeah.
I've been up in Cleveland during September.
Cleveland, Tennessee.
No, Cleveland.
Ohio.
Oh, they got one too?
Yeah, they got one too. Yeah. You know, the Cleveland Browns who won their game the other
day. It's kind of like after Las Vegas built the Eiffel Tower, Paris and went and built one like it.
I guess.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I've been up in Cleveland in August.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets cool at night. So... I had dated someone one time who was from up north, and she was always making s'mores. And I was like, s'mores? What's s'mores? I had never heard of them. I'm a grown man, had never heard of s'mores.
Weren't you active in Boy Scouts?
Yeah, we didn't do
s'mores. It's a Girl Scout thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
But it also seems to be a more northern thing than
bacon.
Does. There you go.
You know why they call them s'mores?
Why?
Because the s'more you make, the s'more you want.
Yep. No, it came from...
Don't we have that drum roll? No, no. Wah,
but
wah,
the name actually came from... these are good. You want to make some more?
S'mores?
Yeah, that's where... Yeah, it was, okay. You want to make some more.
You thought I was joking. That makes sense. What they say. You want some more. The s'more you want, the s'more you make, the s'more you want. You know.
How about that? Now I learned something else.
You want another food poem?
What's that?
Boxty, which is... Basically, latkes, potato pancakes in Ireland. It's a boxty in the kitchen, boxty in the oven, boxty in the pan. If you can't make boxty, then you'll never find a man.
Wow. I've heard that before.
Yeah. I've probably heard that on this show around St. Patrick's Day.
Could be. So, anyway, I have a question. I had somebody... you know, we got the people out there who love their steaks.
Mm-hmm.
Some people love them well done, like shoe leather.
Yeah.
You know. And then there's some that like their steaks Yeah, yeah. And you know, if you're going to make jerky, you feel like jerky, just make jerky.
Yeah.
And don't ruin
a steak.
Yeah. Because I like to make jerky at home, but I do it to make jerky.
And he uses London broil.
Yeah, I like London broil. Mm. And sometimes you can go to, if you're good friends or friends with a butcher, mm-hmm. they'll cut it whatever thickness you like.
Or if you got a pal that's a cow.
There you go. You just a cut pal's it a cow. Yeah. God. What are we doing on today? Anyway, but people talk about, I don't like my. You didn't cook my steak enough. It's got blood running out of it. It's too bloody. It's too bloody. Stu, certainly there's not blood coming out of people's steaks, is there?
No. As you know, Mike, all animals are bled out at the slaughterhouse. You've seen the pictures of them hanging up.
Mm-hmm.
That's to bleed them out. The meat will go bad much faster if you lead the blood in. Plus, the blood starts going bad almost immediately upon death.
Yeah.
So you want that out of there. What you're seeing is water. It's just simple water. And it's got a tiny little amount of a protein called myoglobin in it. Myoglobin, when it comes in contact with oxygen, turns it, the liquid that it's in, red. So all it is water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, on the same vein, a lot of people have sent chicken back at places I worked at because they got down near the bone and they saw a little bit of red next to the bone. That is called a blood line because it looks like a line of blood, but mm-hmm. it is not. It is just a tendon. And the only way to get that tendon to change color is to completely burn the crap out of the chicken. Some of them, it's not as pronounced, and some it is. But it's not blood. It's not dangerous. And I've always heard people go, this chicken's still pink inside. That chicken was never pink inside. It's a white meat. It's called that for a reason.
Mm.
Temperature is what you go by to determine whether or not something's at a safe temperature to eat.
And what is that temperature?
The USDA recommends 165 degrees internal temperature for chicken. Steak is,
that's
40
flexible.
Degrees. I mean, it's steak. It's any issues you might have worried about getting sick from microbes on the steak, bacteria, they only live on the surface. Think about it. This is something that is the size of an atom. To move a millimeter takes it a lifetime. So anything bacteria-wise, it's going to be on the very surface of the steak. The meat is not going to be penetrated. So as soon as you sear it on that grill mm-hmm. or in that pan for just a few minutes, you've killed all the bacteria. There is no longer any danger of getting ill from eating that steak. You have killed all of that.
Yeah.
No one actually, in my theory, no one actually likes the taste of a well-done steak. They don't eat it well-done. Because they think it tastes better. It doesn't. You know that. Because cooking it well done removes flavor from the steak. They eat it because of psychological thing. It looks like blood. And in mm-hmm. their head, it conjures that image. And I understand people that struggle with that. That's hard to get by.
Yeah.
But it is not blood.
Right.
It is myoglobin. There's nothing wrong with it. You can drink a glass full of it. Probably ain't going to taste very good. But you can do it. And like I say, it's just water. And it's the water that when you like dry age steak, that's what's being removed, okay. that water with the myoglobin.
But our bodies are made up of water, and cow's body
2/3
is made
of water,
up,
just like the earth. Isn't that odd? Almost like somebody planned it.
Balance of nature,
yeah. But it is, the steaks don't bleed. They don't moo. I mean, I've cooked a lot of rare steaks. None of them have ever mooed. But for me, with rare steak, and I can eat steak rare, I have no problems with it, you're missing the best part of eating a medium rare steak, which is you've still got that nice, cool center, but you have char on the outside, which is where the flavor comes from, the mm-hmm. Maillard reaction.
Right.
The caramelization of the natural sugars inside that food. And all of them have it. Steak has it. Onions have it. Caramelized onions, they're not made by adding caramel. You slow cook them until the natural sugar in the onion caramelizes.
Right.
Or you could cheat and add a little brown sugar, but they tend to call that an onion marmalade when you do
that. Yeah.
But the Maillard reaction, the late Ann Burrell used to wear this shirt that said, "Brown food tastes good."
Yeah.
That's what she was talking about.
Absolutely.
And that's why, like a thin steak, like a Waffle House, it's not going to be good medium rare. It's not going to be on there long enough to get the char on the outside. It's too thin.
Right.
You want a thick steak. Best burger I've ever had, just straight out burger, was at Port of Call in New Orleans. Because you order it medium rare, they don't mash it out. They leave it about an inch thick, and they get a crust. And when you first get it, it looks like a medium well burger. Mm-hmm. Till you bite in, and it's perfect on the inside. And it's, oh, Mike, it's so thick. To me, that was the way burgers...
I've had one.
Yeah.
Love it.
To me, that as a kid growing up, when I visualized a burger, I didn't visualize a bun with this thin layer of meat in the middle.
Right.
I envisioned something that was as thick as the top bun, if not as thick as the whole burger bun. Hmm. That's what I want.
251-343-0106 is a call and text in line. We'd like to hear your experience, baby, about cutting into the meat and see what comes out.
or tell Mike happy birthday.
Or that. So long, so long. Way down on the Mobile Bay. Hey, hey, hey. Way down on the Mobile Bay. So long, so long.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Well, Michael, oh, I see what you got pulled up there.
I was just thumbing through our Facebook page.
Yeah, have you tried that yet?
No, I have not. I saw that.
The Mickle? Have you tried the Mickle, Steve? You're a Midwestern guy. Y'all's food sucks. Y'all will try anything.
No. No, I've never
heard of a Mickle. The Mickle is they buy a jar of dill pickles.
Oh.
Pour out the pickle brine and pour in milk.
Mmm.
And let it steep. And then they eat the pickles and drink the milk.
That just sounds nasty.
And when I saw it, I started thinking scientifically.
Mm-hmm. Well, like Alton Brown would do.
Right. Well, what is this going to do? Well, a lot of times when you see odd combinations, there's a chemical reason that it works.
Right.
Like blueberries and lemon, orange and chocolate. There's a chemical reason why those flavors pair so well. Well, started thinking about this. Well, even though you drain the brine out, the pickles are still soaked with it.
Yeah.
Just about the right amount of portion to turn milk into buttermilk. Because you could, a lot of home cooks know this. If you need buttermilk, you're out. You take about a tablespoon of vinegar per cup of milk. Pour it in there, let it sit a few minutes. Now you got buttermilk or something that passes. Creme fraiche, that episode of South Park, is a thicker cream like sour cream. It's made by introducing vinegar to heavy cream or whipping cream, air seal it, and let it sit at room temperature for 3 days. Then you're good to go. It's clotting the milk. Well, that's what this is doing. The vinegar in those pickles is going to turn that milk into buttermilk.
Okay. Mm.
What is the other primary flavor ingredient in a pickle other than vinegar and cucumber? It's in the name. Dill.
Dill.
What is ranch dressing? It is mayonnaise, buttermilk, dill, salt, and pepper. What they have done is they've turned their milk into ranch dressing.
Yeah, with a pickle.
And they are eating a salad of nothing but pickles and ranch dressing.
Funsies.
So, flavor-wise, if you're one of those people that dips fried pickles into ranch dressing, that's the most popular dip for fried pickles. I don't get it. Doesn't work, but people do it. Then you would probably like the Mickle. Milkle.
Milky. Okay.
Well, I'll have to introduce that to the people I know that.
That is not as weird a combination as this goofball that talked us into trying cinnamon rolls and chili. It makes more sense than cinnamon rolls and chili.
I'm sorry.
And there's another thing that people are doing now that to me is just as weird as both of those. Getting a grilled cheese sandwich and wanting raw pieces of tomato in the middle of it. That makes absolutely no sense.
I don't care
no
for a tomato
sense.
Inside of a grilled cheese. No.
If you want that tomato soup and grilled cheese aesthetic, it's really easy. You get a bowl of tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich.
But and when dip it.
Yeah. If you want to grill the tomatoes, get them hot, a little salt and pepper, yep. a little caramelization like we talked about. That would be fantastic. But raw tomatoes in a grilled cheese sandwich is just weird. If you like it, enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
I will pray for the people you have locked up in the basement.
Who?
Danny Calabani. You hear him laughing in the background?
No, no. We got Danny on the
line. Danny, good morning.
Good morning. So this begs the question, what is the weird chemistry reaction that makes you two guys work?
It's called fire and water.
You know, I understand. I know one role is the crotchety old get off my grass guy.
That's and the other one.
There ain't been nobody on Stu's grass in a long time.
Not that you can see. Anyway. I skip mowing the lawn for the month of July.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, my backyard's pretty bad too. Yeah. But I don't have any pets that get lost back there, so that's okay. Just want to wish Mike a happy birthday.
Thank you.
You know, he tends to play the crotchety old judge for me from time to time, so that works out as well. So anyway, there is no danger of me singing the happy birthday song to you because that just irritates. That just gets on my last nerve. That song.
I appreciate it.
Going to a restaurant, you don't appreciate when they come up to you all of a sudden because your family said, "Oh, we're going to surprise you with this birthday song."
I don't mind the cake and the ice cream they bring out, but the singing of it. So David and I celebrated our 100th birthday a while back, and we had a nice little party for it. And I knew they were going to sing that somebody was going to want to sing the birthday song. So I had my niece, who was in a sorority at South at the time, I had her sorority come out, and they took a vote. You had to pay $1 to vote, yes or no for the birthday song. Now the yes won, but they raised about 60, 70 bucks for charities. At least they had to pay for it to sing the damn song.
Was the charity the David and Danny Calamity Foundation?
No. It went to their sorority fund. So I made, the girls got paid for working. So that worked out.
There you go.
So anyway. But, you run in the streets some, Mr. Bailey. What you doing for your birthday? Exciting one.
Nothing
are you just
going to
keep it in hard
exciting.
Work?
Thinking about going to get a pedicure this afternoon.
There you go.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. What color?
I went to Butch Cassidy's Friday, and we took the cake in, but we never cut it. And we cut it when we got home. And did have nothing but cake, and which they do a great job. Mm-hmm. It was carrot cake. So, it was delicious.
Well, Danny, we got another caller, buddy.
All right, sounds good, man. Y'all take care.
Thank you, Danny.
I appreciate it,
thank
pal.
You, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. All right.
What we got? What you got going over there, Steve?
Well, we got John, I believe, from Fish River.
Whoa. Hey. What's up, buddy?
Not much. What about you two? I hear you got a lot going on.
Hey, man, have you had the pickle milk yet?
No, and I'm not going to.
That's a fine man. You up in Arkansas or are you here in actual Fish River now? Or are you just gone?
I'm in Texas now. I'm residing in Texas.
Tejas. Steve's having fun. Can you tell?
Well, there he goes. I'm sorry, John. Call us back.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You there? You got it now?
Yeah,
there we go. There we go. But so you're in Texas, huh?
Yep.
If you ever get back to town, go try the where the old Fish River Grill was. Not close, that was close to you. Go try go try that new restaurant out. He's from the Mississippi Delta. And
what's it called?
It's called Southern Delta, I think.
And, when did that happen?
A couple of months now. Maybe 2 months. It's pretty good. Oh my God, the bread pudding. Man, yeah. I'm gonna tell you what. He has the best bread pudding I've ever eaten in my entire life.
Really?
And it's so good. But his food is off the charts good, man. It's just delicious. Does a good job.
I wonder why they had to sell out.
Well, she's all over the place. She's got her other restaurants are really doing well. So I don't think she sold out anything, but she's done well, and that was a small location, very small.
Uh-huh.
So
quaint, Mike. Let's use the word
quaint.
Quaint,
yeah.
Have you had any bodacious beans anytime recently?
Oh, let me tell you, you just brought up something. You know, we about a year ago, we were talking about bodacious barbecue. And you pulled off the interstate, and the first place you came across was bodacious.
Yep, been there.
Well, I found something that might be better. And it's called boxcar. Is what it's boxcar barbecue. The way this got started was it's a train engineer. He was nearing his time to retire, and he decided he wanted to get into the restaurant business.
Oh, Lord.
So around the corner and down the road emerged Boxcar Barbecue. And I tell you what, it is something else. It will really rival anything else you've ever had.
Yeah, so they're pretty good at barbecue in Texas.
Well, you know, not only Texas, but Georgia,
Tennessee,
Carolinas, Alabama, got some really good barbecue.
Yeah. I enjoy all of it. Well, and I tell people the best style of barbecue is the best is the style that's served wherever you are.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. Yeah, it is.
And but that restaurant I was trying name the restaurant I was trying to tell you about is called Southern Bayou Grill. And he's doing a great job, but barbecue, yeah, I'm.
Mike's familiar. He's had a rib or two.
I got certain things I enjoy at certain barbecue places, and like Moe's, I enjoy all their sides. They do a great job of their sides.
Oh yeah, don't they?
Brisket and stuff.
That smoked cheeseburger on Saturdays is killer.
Huh.
Yeah, they do. They smoke a cheeseburger, put it in the burger in the smoker for an hour and a half.
Okay, all right. Whew. And then I love my brisket at Shotgun Barbecue up at Bay Minette, and also at Buster's in Robertsdale. Both make great brisket.
Hey, John, that Shotgun Barbecue Mike's talking about, it's up at Cliff's Landing.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's like a little trailer
top of the hill.
Yeah, right where. Where the fishing camp used to be, where you could rent trailers or put your own camper there.
Yeah,
up there. And it is good. And on Sundays, he'll do stuff like oxtails and gravy with collard greens. He does soul food on Sundays in addition to the barbecue.
Friday nights, sometimes he does ribeyes.
Ooh. So. Sure wish I could make that.
Oh, you can't get a good steak in Texas?
I'm sure you could, but right now that's not on my menu. I'm
taking understand.
A turn for the word.
Don't say that, buddy.
Yeah, real bad.
Can you have duck? Man, get you some duck breast. Treat it just like a steak, man. Medium rare. 7 minutes skin side down, 2 minutes on the other side. Let it rest for 2 to 3 minutes.
That time it'll be cold.
Oh, well, it's medium rare. It's supposed to be cool in the center anyway. What you want is that skin nice and crispy.
Yeah.
But you got to let it set a minute, or when you cut into it, that myoglobin we were talking about will come leaking out.
There you go.
Yeah.
Need that to firm up. That's why I said just let it rest for 2 or 3 minutes. Should do that with steak, too, man.
All right. Hey, yeah. John, thank you, buddy. Thanks for give us a call sometime, okay?
He just did. All
right.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Praying for you.
Yes.
A butter and egg man from way out in the west. I get so tired of working all day. I want somebody.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Alrighty, we're back. It's nice to hear from John.
Good to hear from Danny.
Everybody keep John in your prayers, please. And
good friend of this show since day one.
Absolutely, absolutely. We had some fun times with John.
Tomato pie.
Tomato pie, and I've been to his man cave a couple times. Uh-huh. And he's fixed me some of them concoctions. I said, does Uber pick up down in Fowler?
Does Uber go to Fish River?
Fish River, yeah. So, well, we got Patrick on the line, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What did we do wrong, Patrick?
Hey, are y'all there?
Yeah, we're here.
As far as you know.
How you doing?
No, you didn't do anything wrong. I was just enjoying the show. I was just going to call in. Y'all said something about bread pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And so two things. One, I don't know if you ever had a chance to go to the bakery when it was on Dolphin. I guess that's where
it
was.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Sure did.
They had hands down the best bread pudding you ever put in your mouth. It was phenomenal.
Well, now, we may have to fight about this, Patrick.
Or we may have to meet down there at Fish River and see if it lives up to his memory of the one at the bakery.
Okay, let's see what else.
Elvis Conqueray was the chef at the bakery at the time.
Now, currently, it's a totally different style, totally, totally different. But I'm gonna say, just about equally as good as Via Emilia. I think it's a white chocolate. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal.
They have a terrific brunch there, by the way. We don't think about it because not downtown.
Now the other thing, past and current. So if you ever had a chance to go to Nancy's down on the bay.
Oh my God, yeah, I love that place.
Well, you know, a lady named Nancy owned it, and then she moved to Tennessee. I don't know if y'all know all the history, but Mr. Willis, he bought it from her.
Right.
And he was like, the only thing I knew about the restaurant business was how to eat in one. I don't know anything. So I just started buying these gigantic fried shrimp and frying them up, and people just started coming. It was like, if somebody could ever replicate that, they were like the size of Caribbean lobsters.
Mm.
I mean, they were just ginormous.
Oh, he's probably what they call like the U4s and U5s. Shrimp is usually done like 21 to 25 shrimp in a pound. A U4 is like four shrimp in a pound.
Yeah, they probably weren't quite that big. They were probably like U12, U10, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
If you want to DIY, this is there again. He doesn't use as big a shrimp, but look up Phil Robertson's recipe for fried shrimp.
Okay.
I could just ask
Chris Sherrill, who probably came up with it for me.
Oh, who is that?
Chris Sherrill used to be the executive chef at the Floribama, and he became good friends with the Robertsons years ago. And
really?
Even to today, I think a week or so a year, he goes down to their place, Louisiana, and helps Mama come up with new recipes for her line and stuff like that.
Well, they have a big old, probably a boucherie-like thing, and they cook, for everybody he cooks for them. But
Chris has been a chef that consulted with him to help him get things ready for commercial use. Yeah.
I used to sell wine to Mr. Robertson over there, to Willis, and we know his daughter Connie really well. And I said, well, Connie, why don't you open that restaurant back up? She said, no, Lord, no, I don't want to get in the restaurant business because it's hard.
Patrick, let me tell you a story real quick. I was working with Chris at the Fairhope Market for a while. And Chris comes over and bumps his elbow to mine. He shows me his phone. And it's a text message from Jace Robertson saying, hey, man, we're in town for a day, and we want to go shoot some stingray with bow and arrow. Can you hook us up? I was with Chris doing a cook-off over in Spanish Fort one time with Simon Majumdar from Food Network, and he wanted Simon to hear this voicemail. And this guy from Eufaula, Alabama, goes, hey, Chef Chris, this buddy down here in Eufaula, you said next time we get some of these wild boars pinned up, let you know. Well, we got about 200 of them. You need to come on down quick because we about to put the hammer down.
Oh, my God.
Chris had the best text messages.
You're right about the bakeries. They did have a phenomenal bread pudding. I'll tell you who's got one right now, too, is Callahan's. Callahan's. And you can feed a family of four with a slice of the Callahan's. And this big old piece.
I'll give it a whirl.
And but right now you got to get by that place I told you about,
Southern Bayou Grill
over there in the old Fish River Grill close to Fish River.
And they got good bread pudding.
Oh my God, it's so good! my eyes just lit up, and I said,
"You should see the drool trickling out of the corner of his mouth right now."
I might go get one tomorrow. As a matter of fact,
well, I'm gonna do it. But I want you to look up Phil's recipe. It's very, very simple. Very simple. And he does, of course, he uses peanut oil, which I think that may be the key to it. Mm. Little onion powder. Very, very simple. And I've made it several times, and it's delicious. But look, hey, guys, enjoy the show.
Hey, well, thank you for listening, and thanks for calling in. Yes.
I appreciate it, Patrick. Yeah, the Roberts is, they know how to cook.
Oh.
And they know. Yeah, Chris also one time did a Facebook Live when Joan Jett was playing at the down there at the place in Orange Beach.
The Wharf.
Thank you. I knew it started with a W. I was about to say the warehouse. But Chris did a Facebook Live, and he goes, yeah, so we got picked to cook the VIP food for Joan Jett tonight. And he holds on and he goes, vegan bacon. He takes a bite and he goes, it's edible. It's not too bad, really.
Chris got to go. Chris this past year went with David Hubble and them over to and Jim Smith over to John Foltz's place for the boucherie. I'm gonna do if I had to do a GoFundMe or sell
for
donuts,
$75 ticket
for to no, it's more than that.
Oh,
but you got to have a hotel room and all that and gas to get there because it's like
forever. You got a truck, man. Get a camper.
So it's a fun event to go to, and you look at all the different varmints that they chopped up and about to grill and cook and stews and they have an open bar.
Oh, because Mike hates the closed one.
I cannot stand a closed bar.
Quick text from Michael says, I love the Hickory Pits tomato gravy and biscuits. Is there any local restaurants you all know of that make tomato gravy too?
Hopefully the Hickory Pit. You just said it.
I don't know of any make tomato gravy. I'm going to tell
why.
That's an art. Tomato gravy is an art. You gotta know how to do it right. And
it's tomato sauce, y'all.
It's no, just tomato it's not. Sauce. It's more
it
than
ruins a biscuit. It's terrible.
No, you don't.
It is one of those things that it is a love or hate. There's nobody that's like, it's okay. I mean, if someone brought it to me, I would eat it.
Yeah.
But I would never order it. I would never ask anybody to make it.
Well, John called it in, and you said tomato pie.
Yeah.
Le Bichon last night had tomato pie on their menu, and I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
I would have went.
Yeah, they were avoiding you. They were like, don't tell Mike. He'll just eat it.
The secret, don't tell him. Don't tell Mike. I would have gone.
Yeah.
I love tomato pie. Yeah. And I don't see that lady out on the side of the road anymore.
Hey, here's the thought. You got a house and a kitchen.
Yeah.
Make it.
Yeah. I'd rather somebody else make it.
I know.
Especially on my birthday weekend.
Yeah, birthday weekend. Birthday was Wednesday, y'all.
Friday.
You don't get
Friday.
No weekend.
Friday.
Birthday weekend.
Friday.
You sound like one of these millennial girls. It's my birthday month. You don't get a month, baby.
Gary says tomato gravy is the best food ever.
There you go.
So you go.
That's what I say. It's a love-hate.
Maybe not thing. The best food ever, but it's pretty darn good.
I only
good.
Know two people in person that like it. One of them's sitting right here, and the other one's my buddy Kevin.
Man,
the lady that makes it for him doesn't like tomato gravy. His wife doesn't like tomato gravy.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Michael.
Thank you. I appreciate it, everybody.
You know what you need for your birthday.
What's that?
Provolone.
Some provolone, yes.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.